listening to the Ballroom Network. The following program is intended for all audiences. Welcome to the South Burbs Hitmen Podcast with your hosts, Joe Mantle, Steven Zim Zimmerman, and Vinny Parisi. We're bringing you the White Sox coverage you need from the perspective of true Southsiders. Grab your Comiskey dog with an ice cold beer and meet us in section 155. Everyone get on your feet for your South Burbs Hitmen.
That ball hit deep. Way back. You can put it on the board. Yes. Jimenez in the air. Left field. He's your hero tonight. Thanks, Cubs.
Over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges throws. Out! And the White Sox have won the World Series.
Alexei! Yes! 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 History! A perfect game by Mark Burley. And what an unbelievable play by 21.
First pitch starts now.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of South Burbs Hitmen. I'm one of your hosts, Joe Mandel, and I'm joined, as always, by my baseball White Sox brothers in arms. I'm talking about Steven Zim Zimmerman and the ever-present, not today because he's got a family thing going on for Easter, which by all means, for all of those of you celebrating, happy Easter to everyone. Vin couldn't be here tonight, but we know that we'll be talking with him again starting next week. But Zim, two games under our belt already. The first one, there's some great pitching from Garrett Crochet. Not much else could be said. And then today, the bats finally woke up. The bullpen and Soroka couldn't keep the runs off the board. So real quick, Zim, initial thoughts on the White Sox two games into the 2024 season.
Yeah, man. I mean, 0-2 for the Sox, 0-4 for me, since I've been following the South Beach Hitmen as well this season. The Miami Marlins also starting out 0-2. So the White Sox aren't alone in this. It's early in the season. There's 160 games left to go. So by no means should we be hitting the panic button. In all honesty, I think this team has looked better than I expected, which is like weird to say considering they've lost both of their games. But I mean, their run differential is only -2. That's as good as it can be in two losses. So they're playing close against a team that is expected to be better than them in the division. They've given them a run for their money both days. Garrett Crochet, you know, he's the ace, quote unquote, of this team this season. And he looked like it on opening day. And then coming out today, it was Soroka today, correct?
Yep.
And he didn't look like a world beater by any means, but he looked like a number two pitcher. I mean, I'd take it. I think he only gave up
that line. No, but his stuff looked okay.
Yeah.
Like he went five innings, gave up seven hits, four runs, all four earned.
But only three of those were really on him. One of them was one of those bullpen earned run things. You know, he put the guy on, which you got to credit it to somebody. I don't know that I doesn't necessarily agree with how it's done, but I get it.
Yeah, I didn't like the three walks in the five innings. I know that's not a super high number, but those were at-bats that definitely got away from him for sure.
Yeah, it inflates that whip, which is a number that you really want to keep low, especially for your starters. You know, if you've got a guy going...
For our listeners that don't know what that is, it's walks and hits allowed per inning.
Correct. And basically, you want that number at or around one. And right now, you know, seven hits, three walks, that's 10 and five. That puts him at exactly two. Whip of two, it's not amazing. It's not bad. Let's put it this way. If you give up two singles every time, you know, you put two runners on every inning, that's not going to kill you. But
yeah,
it can add up over the course of a season, you know, when both of those guys are doubles or one's a double and one's a homer, so on and so forth, you know. So
yeah.
It's not great, but it's not bad. Like, honestly, for the expectations we had coming into this season, I think this team has surprised a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously day one, the offense just sputtered at the door. But, you know, you gotta tip your hat to Tigers pitching.
Scooball is great. A guy who could be in the Cy Young running this year.
Yeah.
So you kind of get what you get out of that one.
Yeah, he looked like a world beater. Today, not so much. I mean, the bats woke up. We had some great hitting. Of course, two bombs from Luis Robert and one from the rookie who I'm trying to remember how to pronounce his name.
Shoemake.
I want to say Shoemaker, but it's Shoemake without the er. So let's take a look. I've got the videos of the home run. We can talk over them, obviously, because I don't have the audio because I don't want to get us in trouble. But yeah. Lubob just crushed this ball.
Yeah, 450-footer, 112 miles an hour off the bat. That's what you expect from this guy. Unfortunately, he did it when it didn't count. You know, he had an opportunity to walk the game off late and didn't come through on it, which is a little upsetting. But at least they were in that position. Now, Shoemake, this kid's come out of nowhere. I knew nothing about this guy before the season. He's wearing Ken Griffey Jr.'s number, so you expect big things from him. But
Lubob again.
You know, and just real quick, I noticed this earlier in the day. What is it with the White Sox letting all these young kids take all of these great players for this organization's numbers? Like, I get that they're not retired, that it's not like maybe the biggest deal, but like I'm looking at the lineup today and I'm seeing 25, 8, 12, 17 all come up to bat. And I'm like, these are not the guys I think should be wearing these numbers.
Yeah, it's weird. It's definitely weird. I don't like it. I imagine some of those numbers will eventually be retired, but apparently another conversation for another day.
I know that's a total curveball out of left field, but no, I just had to throw that out there.
You're right. I never thought about it, but you're 100% right.
So, I mean, and again, these numbers aren't retired. They're up for grabs. I know that, you know, when I was asked for my softball team to pick a number, I picked the one that spoke to me regardless of who's worn it before. So I get it. Bearstown 19 in the chat. Isn't that our buddy Gabe?
What's up, Gabe?
That's right. He says Yoan Moncada is trash, and that's exactly where I was about to go with this. Is you think Moncada might be the odd man out with Shoemake potentially making a big splash here? If Nicky Lopez really is the first or the second baseman of the future, you know, Shoemake actually turns out to be somebody, and then seems like Colson Montgomery, he started the season at AAA. I thought he'd be at AA, but he could be up as soon as midseason.
I hope they let him develop. I hope not. We both talked about this before, but it does seem a lot. It does feel a lot like last year, you know, with like Berger, like, let's bench Moncada. Let's play Berger. He's been awesome. And he was.
Yeah.
I know it's only game two of the season. So like he could pull a Yermín Mercedes and be amazing for like seven games and then just disappear. Which is entirely possible, but I'm just saying it feels remarkably like last year in like, Moncada's out the door. Let's give this guy a shot. You never know. I mean, if he keeps doing what he did today, then sure, why not?
Right. Yeah. It's an interesting topic for debate to me because, you know, we've talked for years about how Moncada had this breakout season in 2020 and that 60 game shortened season. It was 2019, actually. 2019, he had that great season. 2020 in that 60-game shortened season, he got sick, he got COVID, and he hasn't been the same player since. And here we are 4 years removed from that now. And it feels like it's kind of a make-or-break season for him. It really does. With all these kids waiting in the wings, with all this talent they've acquired in the minors, you know, this is something I was kind of trying to save for the guaranteed take segment. I know we're not really doing a structured show today, but let's start it off spicy. I mean, is Yoan Moncada on the hot seat? Could he be a trade deadline exit?
The answer is I don't think anyone knows the answer yet. I think he's on the hot seat with Sox fans, which, you know, isn't a surprise to anybody because this is a guy who can't be consistent with anything other than his glove. So I think if he has a halfway decent first half, I think they'll unload him 100%. If he's got any value at all, you ship him off. If he's a horrible first half player, like he has been, I don't see him going anywhere. I could see him being DFA'd. Let me say that.
Yeah.
That's a hot take too.
Yeah. No, I mean, but it's totally fair. This guy went from being the number one player, the number one player in the minors, effectively, that the top prospect in all of baseball, to being, you know, as PZ said, Moncada hit a triple and didn't hurt himself. Mm-hmm. B Miners says you can trade him if anyone will trade for him.
Yeah.
You know, so he's gone from this highly regarded prospect, this developmental player that should have been the next big thing. You know, this seems like everybody else can develop prospects except for the White Sox, you know. Adley Rutschman, Julio Rodriguez, Juan Soto, these are all top prospects that developed into great players.
These are all reasons to keep Colson Montgomery in AAA all season long.
100%. Bring him up in September.
Don't even bring him up. I don't even care.
Bring him up in September. Let him get the major league experience when you're completely out of the playoff hunt.
Well, just don't bring him up for any meaningful games is what I'm getting at.
No, I completely agree with you there.
Because then you'll alienate him from the start. I don't know. I've been completely underwhelmed with our development of players. Still underwhelmed with the Cease take, but I will say Cease didn't look so good today.
Kind of a relief, huh?
I mean, it's the first game of the season, so it's nothing. And he's been with the team for, a week and a half? So I guess you can't really say too much. Doesn't have that rapport yet with the catchers, I'm sure. You know, yeah. I don't want to make excuses for the guy, but there's a long way to go there.
Yeah, it's something. Yeah.
Swatchy just ends up being a complete bust. I hope not. I hope he does well in the National League, but that's a whole other thing. So obviously we got another one tomorrow.
Yeah.
And
Eric Fetty making his White Sox debut, his first major league appearance since 2022. Not great major league numbers.
But he was great in the Korean Baseball League last year.
He sure was. And he
was one of the best seasons ever.
He was pretty darn good in college as well, coming out of UNLV, which is a baseball school. You know, it's not like he was coming out of Georgia or whatever, someplace that has a good program, but they're not a baseball school necessarily.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we're a little intrigued about that matchup tomorrow. But he has to go against Jack Flaherty, who's pretty solid in his own right for the Tigers.
Yes.
That's going to be a heck of a game tomorrow, 1 o'clock Central Time, back at the Rate. And it gets, Zim? I might as well roll the pre-made white schedule thing that Aldo made, because we're going to talk about White Sox Weekly. So we may as well roll it. So do I have it? I do. So let's take a look at this week's White Sox Weekly. Why not? I rolled the wrong clip. That's awesome. Aldo made a much nicer clip, and I played the old one. Anyway, this is White Sox Weekly and a much nicer video produced by Aldo Gandia. I should probably just delete the other one, let's be honest. we're a little, and by the way, I didn't mention this at the top of the show. We're doing the show on a Saturday because, one, you got Easter tomorrow. And then Monday, you know, I'm on vacation. I'll be in the Sin City. I'll be in Viva Las Vegas. So just figured we'd do this before so we can get a show in. And it's week one of the season, so it's important to have it. So just wanted to put that out there. So we will not be doing a show this Monday, but we'll be back the following Monday, which I believe is April 8th, if my memory serves me correctly.
That is correct.
But obviously, Zim, we got that big game tomorrow. Eric Fetty making his debut against Jack Flaherty. So that'll be a good one. You can catch that, of course, on NBC Sports Chicago. And then things get a little hairy starting Monday. We got a three-game set starting up, Zim, against the Atlanta Braves, who currently are 2-0, Atlanta Braves, by the way. Again, their pitchers are still TBD on the matchups, as are most of ours. Actually, they're not. I guess on Monday we have Chris Flexen going, and then on Tuesday, Crochet gets to go against those same Braves. So we'll see what's going on there. Wednesday's matchup, of course, none of the pitchers are currently listed. And then we get a series with Kansas City after that. So interesting times, Zim. We could be anything. I think right now we could easily be 2-0.
Easily.
After these games,
they're a couple clutch hits away from being there. In the first game, it was tough because they only got three hits and they were all singles. But today, I mean, there were runners on. A ball breaks a different way. They win that game. They had bases loaded, one out in the seventh. They had a man on third in the eighth, and just couldn't bring them home. It's kind of been the story of the White Sox for the last 3 or 4 years. But it's nice to see that even in a rebuilding season, you know, they're not really still rebuilding. It seems like Chris Getz, for all of his faults, might not have outright sold us a lie this season. He said this team was going to be competitive. So far through two games, they've been competitive. They still suck, but they've been competitively sucking.
Well, you couldn't really say that last year, right? You couldn't even say that they were competitive. So I feel like that's a step in the right direction. Again, it's two games into the season, so you can take it with a grain of salt. We can come back to this video in September and we can make fun of ourselves, which either
and we will.
And it's one way or the other, but we know which way it's probably going. But you know, it's going to be more entertaining than last year, I feel.
Yeah.
But like I said, tough week coming up. Obviously, the three games against Atlanta is tough. They're a killer squad.
World Series favorites.
Yeah. I would expect Matt Olson to hit like three or four home runs in that series.
I don't know about that, but yeah, it's going to be a tough series for the Sox. If they can come away with one win out of that three game stretch, I think it would be,
I would take it.
Yeah. It would be a success for this young club. As far as the Royals, you know, it's going to be tough playing against yourselves, but somebody's got to win. So hopefully it's our Sox.
For sure. B Minor points out that he likes Shoemake because he can play all infield positions and can hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's that classic utility guy that you can kind of plug him in.
Don't call him a utility guy.
Yeah, Tony La Russa might come knock down my door and burn
very
down my
slowly.
House.
Come running up to your door.
Not even involved with it'll be like that run with the against when Jose got beaned. It'll be that gentle jog. But yeah, no, I like him. I mean, I think he's that guy you can plug in and play. I don't want to call him like Lurie Garcia because
he's already better than Lurie Garcia, and it's been two games.
I know. I'm just saying Lurie Garcia was that guy for the longest time.
He's your glue guy. He's the guy behind the scenes that makes it all tick. You know, he's the guy who, when Nicky Lopez is having a bad day, you can just say, Shoemake, get out there. Nicky needs an afternoon, you know?
I think, too, you know, he seems like a good clubhouse guy. I know it's really early to say that.
Yeah.
He seems like it, you know? I kind of like the vibes of the clubhouse, you know?
And I was going to say that. I was going to bring that up after this. Look ahead. This team feels different, doesn't it? Like, again, two games into the season, hard to really say for sure, but like compared to last year, I feel like these guys have such a different vibe, you know, that they feel positive, they feel upbeat, they feel like they're looking forward to going out there and playing this year rather than last year. It kind of felt like they were going out there because they had to go out there,
right? No, I'm with you.
It could be just the early seasons that jitters, but hopefully that sticks around. Young guys will do that to a squad, though, you know?
For sure. I mean, hopefully Pedro knows what not to do now, so we can kind of go from there. Speaking of Pedro, we got a great comment from PZ, but before we get to it, since we're going to be talking about Pedro, we might as well run into this week's edition of Pedro's Pen. Yeah, and the comment that triggered me to play that is PZ, who said, let's hope Pedro realizes he has a limited amount of arms in the bullpen.
Yeah.
The reason PZ calls that out. And for those of you who don't know, the bullpen's got some solid work over the last couple days, especially today. Soroka went five. And we had Leisure, Leon, Hill, Wilson, Rabia, and Garcia. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pitchers featured in today's game. Going into opening day, the White Sox, luckily, they had four. Crochet, Garcia, Kopech, and Leon. So, yeah, Pedro, that's my only qualm thus far is every game can't be a bullpen game.
Well, especially when it seems like they're going to be running a four-man starting rotation this year. You know, only running four guys there, you're going to run your pen a little thin, especially when we are in this era of baseball where guys don't seem to want to let their starters work through situations where it seems like they're going to get yanked after the fifth inning, whether they're in a one-hit game or a 10-hit game, you know. And I hope that these guys can hold up over the course of a season. There's a lot of young guys in this bullpen. I think Eric Fetty is one of the oldest guys on the team at 31 years old. I think he might be the only guy in the 30s on this team.
I'd have to look it up, but you probably are right.
They're young. They've got a lot of life in them. So let's not drain it.
Friend of the show, Sydney Brown, says it was nice to see the offense come to life today. So much for Thursday. LOL. Yeah. I mean, we'll try to forget about that one, Sid, but always appreciate you tagging us and putting out great content on social media. And thanks for tuning in as always, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, this bullpen, I got to say, though, like, better than I expected through these first two games.
Look pretty good. I mean, obviously,
I know they blew the lead today.
Yeah.
But one of those runs was an extra innings where you get the ghost runner, and David Garcia got two strikeouts and a ground out, if I remember correctly, which you take.
It was really Leone. Is it Leon or Leone? I don't know the right way to pronounce it.
Honestly, I don't know.
But he pitched 2 days in a row, and today he didn't even get in a third. He gave up two runs quickly. He gave up that bomb. And besides that, the pen was pretty good. Obviously, Garcia gave up a run there in the ninth. Or, I'm sorry, was that the 10th? That was the 10th. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he had two strikeouts, so his stuff looked pretty good.
If they didn't have that ghost runner, it wouldn't have mattered. You know, if it wasn't for that new extra innings rule, Garcia would have been completely fine today, which is another reason why I dislike that rule, because a guy can come in and pitch a lights out inning, but one mistake and you lose the game. Like, you shouldn't lose the game because of one bad pitch unless it's a home run. And that's frustrating to me. Yeah. But that's a whole other discussion. I really think, you know, in that first game especially, Crochet only made it through six innings. So that was three innings where you had to rely on your bullpen, and they kept it a one-run game. Those guys did a great job. And throughout today's game, again, aside from that home run, the bullpen did their job again. I mean, this bullpen is surprisingly good, and Leisure looks lights out.
David Garcia look great. Has
four strikeouts out of the bullpen already. Four strikeouts in two games. That's as many as some starting pitchers in the league already. So the guy's got good stuff. His breaking pitches are disgusting. Did you see any of that today?
Yeah, it's exciting to see. Gotta love seeing a young guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, he's throwing these 75-mile-an-hour curveballs that just fall off a waterfall, man. I mean, it's not even falling off a table. It's falling off the countertop. Those things are so gross. I would hate to either have to catch or hit against that guy. Crochet's stuff looked really good. I know he's not out of the bullpen. Kopech out of the bullpen looks exactly how we expected him, even though it's only been one appearance so far. And like I mentioned before, Leisure looks real good out of the bullpen. I really think if these guys are not just flashing right now, if this is who they are, and I know that's a big ask of them, and it's not going to be true for every single one of these guys. For some guys, this very well might be who they are. For other guys, we have no idea, but it's promising, you know, like that's the vibes I've gotten so far out of the beginning of this season. It's like, there's promise here. Last season, this team came out limp. They came out flat. They came out again, like they were just collecting a paycheck, and the fan base felt it. And today, with two outs in the bottom of the ninth in a tie game, Luis Robert comes up to bat, and that stadium was louder than I heard it at any point last season. And to me, that like encapsulates the emotion that I'm feeling watching this team through two games this year, is that there's optimism. You know, it can be sucked out of us real quick. Let's be real. If they start out the season 0-11 with a minus 11 run differential, it doesn't matter.
Sure, it doesn't matter.
We're going to get pissed off eventually. But
yeah, and as B Minor points out in the chat, you know, it's a rebuild year. I think everyone knows that. But like
Chris Getz does not know that.
Well, I think he knows it. I just don't think he'll say it. There's two different things to be said there. But what I will say, though, is that I just hope that they can stay gritty, you know, like White Sox baseball, and not cash it in, like you said, Zim, and Foster agrees that they sure did last year. Got a question. I think it's pretty obvious, yes, if Crochet is going to be the Sox star pitcher. Of course, if you caught last week's, I predicted him to be the biggest disappointment of the 2024 White Sox. And he certainly made me eat my words on Thursday. I said during the show, I hope I'm wrong. He's got the stuff. We know he does. I didn't think he could go five innings. I didn't think he could. So he proved me wrong immediately. If he's got that stuff all year long, he absolutely is the White Sox star pitcher. And he's probably a top 15 pitcher in the American League if he can stay healthy and have all the pitches working the way they were on Thursday.
Yeah. I absolutely think that he can be the guy for this team. He's one of a few players in major league history to never touch the minor leagues. You know, the only time he's ever been in the minors was for rehab assignments. Mm-hmm. He is not a minor league player. He came straight out of college into the major leagues. He was kind of an older rookie. You know, I think he was like 22, 23, which, you know, for baseball is an older rookie.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say
funny when you compare it to things like the NFL where 23, 22 is like the norm, but regardless, and what's especially promising is that he was a relief guy. You know, he only had 13 starts in college. And he played 3 years in college, 13 starts over 3 years in college, no starts in the major league before opening day. So this guy has 14 starts since high school total. And he just let up one run. That's pretty good. That's pretty promising. He's not going to be like that every day. I think we can all just admit that now. It could be his next time out. It could be 10 starts from now. It could be next season, but sooner or later, he's going to get shelled for like seven runs in three innings.
Foster says I should say it every start, how disappointing he's going to be. And so then he can show me. I'm not just going to say that just because he said that, but I really think when he pitches against Atlanta this week that he's going to get teed off on. I hope I'm wrong. I love Garrett Crochet. I can just see the writing on the wall.
Atlanta's a good ball club full of right-handed bats. They could do something there.
I think they're going to feast on him, but I hope I'm wrong.
So
I'm a Sox fan, by the way, just so everyone knows.
This is what watching the White Sox will do to you, just so everyone knows.
Well, I just see Atlanta smoking the ball. No,
I completely get it. They're a really good team. Like I said before, they're World Series favorites. And it's for a very good reason. They're a very good ball club. They made an aggressive pursuit of Dylan Cease, again, for a very good reason. And it's because they think they can win it all, and they think they can win it all this year.
Well, they certainly can. They've got all the pieces to do it. I mean, if Chris Sale's your fourth, or was he the fourth starter there? Fourth or fifth?
I think
starter? So. Yeah. I mean, if he's your number four, that's pretty impressive. So,
well, it'd be a lot more impressive if it was like 5 years ago and he was your fourth starter.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not saying he's for sale. No, I pitch with the White Sox, but
right. Tell you what, how about a smart move by the Sox with Chris Sale? You know, getting rid of him when they did. They may not have developed the guys that they got in return for him, but it really seems like they sold high on that one. And yeah,
they did
through spring training and one start of the season already for Dylan Cease. It almost looks like they might have done it again.
Duh. I feel like we're pull that clip later in the season too when he wins the Cy Young.
Hey, record it, you know, clip it right there, send it to us. I have no issue eating my words on that one, but you know, you root for your team to sell high on a guy when they get rid of him because, you know, it hurts. It eases the pain of seeing one of your favorite players dress up in a new uniform.
I will say we talked earlier in the season premiere. We're like, why now? You know, and maybe Chris Getz and the White Sox know something that we don't. You know, I hope not, because I wish the well for Dylan Cease. But you know,
but hey. I mean, they sure nailed it with Rodon. You know, Rodon only had one good season after he left the Sox, and he's been pretty the other 2 years.
Been pretty hurt. That's it.
He's been pretty hurt. There's another
guy. Is he even healthy now? I know he's playing for the Yankees. Is he finally healthy? I don't even know.
I don't think so. And there was another guy I was thinking of too, just recently, that the Sox let go and he had a shoulder issue as well. But I can't think of who it is off the top of my head. So,
I guess he did. He is healthy. He threw yesterday. What did he do? Let me pull up the box score.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Let's go to the Yankees. He got a win, so let's go box. Live updates. Here we go. Wait, did he start for them on opening day?
It's quite possible
he did.
With the Gerrit Cole injury.
All right, hang on. Let me go back a day. Box. Sorry for the dead air, folks. I'm just trying to see if we can see what Carlos Rodon. Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, he did not get the win because he didn't go five, but he went four and a third, gave up one run, four strikeouts, and three walks. They were going up against the Astros, so that's pretty solid. I mean, they got the Yankees won 7-1, so.
Well, that's something.
Nothing like hearing about ex-White Sox.
Yeah.
Jake Berger's been doing great. Of course, I haven't
started. He's been on fire to start the season.
Yeah, but the Marlins are not. They're 0-2.
As I mentioned before, you know, when you pick a second team to root for in a season, expecting your team to do poorly, it's especially disappointing when they are also 0-2 to start the year. But, you know, our South Beach Hitmen segment, I'm happy to do this every week, and I know Vinny will do it with me. But if we want to do a South Beach Hitmen segment, I am so open to it. Regardless, they are also playing Pittsburgh, who is another World Series favorite this year. So I understand them not being.
Is Pittsburgh really a World Series favorite?
They've got a pretty good roster, man.
They do. Brian Reynolds is freaking unbelievable.
Yeah.
He had a bomb today.
So. At any rate, we don't need to go on and on about ex-White Sox players.
I mean, it might be more entertaining, but we covered a lot about the White Sox already.
All right. Well, as long as we're at it, Jim Thome, I'm pretty sure is coaching Little League still. Ken Griffey Jr., I think he's got a show on MLB Network.
There's a few. Big Hurts still doing NBC Sports Chicago, I think.
Ah, good on him. Hey, that's a great point that I wanted to bring up. How about the new announcing team for White Sox baseball? I don't know if you've gotten a chance to watch these games, Joe. I know they're blacked out in your
area. I got to hear some highlights.
Yeah. I got to say,
I'm impressed.
I was bummed for Benintendi to leave. I was bummed for Benetti to leave. Benetti.
Yeah, me too. I mean,
he's a homegrown talent, you know? Mm-hmm. It was upsetting. But you don't blame him for wanting to go to a better situation with better ownership, with a team that seems to want to put together a winning product every year rather than just occasionally.
Well, how weird do you think it is for him the last two games? He did the first two games of his new stint at the opposing stadium.
That's it. And I'm sorry.
Or at his old stadium.
I can't think of the name of the new play-by-play guy off the top of my head, but watching the games, it was like the eighth inning today before I kind of went, oh yeah, that's not Benetti this year.
John Schriffen.
He's pretty solid. And him and Stoney, they've gotten a good rapport pretty quickly. It's been entertaining to listen to. You can tell they're still feeling each other out a little bit. But the beats are there. You know, it feels like Stoney's guiding him along the right way. And I don't think White Sox broadcasts are going to lose any quality. You know,
I don't think they would. I mean, they made the right choice. I mean, Schifrin's up and coming in the industry.
B Minor makes a good point. Yeah, he knows nothing about Chicago. Give it 3 months. Seriously, I genuinely mean that. Give it 3 months, because he's not going to spend that much time in the city and not get to know it. Anybody who knows Chicago, anyone who knows Chicago knows you can't spend that much time in the city and not get to know it a little bit. You would never leave your apartment.
And look what Sidney had to say. He said he met with John Schifrin at Lot B tailgate. You know, he was gracious with the fans, trying to establish a relationship with White Sox fans right away. I mean, I saw a lot of those pictures all over Twitter. It's awesome. You know, I think that's classy. And getting to know the fan base is certainly going to help him navigate
this
a little bit better.
Yeah, that'll go really far with the fan base. That's how Jeff Joniak has made his entire career with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
He's an amazing play-by-play guy as well.
Sure.
Let's not get that wrong by any means. But he's got a real rapport with the fan base. He goes out to those tailgates. I've been to away games and home games for the Bears, and Jeff Joniak goes out on the field before every game, and he will sign autographs for fans. He will talk to fans, ask them about, you know, how long you've been a fan, you excited for today's game, if it's an away game, you know, how far did you travel to come to this, and so on and so forth. That goes a long way. And so to hear that Schifrin's doing the same thing is really promising.
Hopefully,
I mean, I'm sure he signed a multi-year deal or whatever to do this. And hopefully it gets extended and he can become, you know, the voice of the White Sox for years to come, rather than just being another guy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a big market for him. You know, it's big exposure. You know, I mean, regardless, I know it's not the Cubs, but, you know, Chicago White Sox, big market team, man. And the guy sounds great, looks great. Looking forward to hearing him the rest of the season. But yeah, as Zim mentioned, I'm kind of annoyed. You know, I made the move last July to Michigan. I'm in St. Joe, Michigan. And to watch the White Sox, like, I pick up MLB ticket, whatever. And I also have YouTube TV. The Detroit Lions are carried on Bally's, which is not a part of YouTube TV. Okay, whatever. The game's blacked out on MLB TV because they're playing the Tigers, which is considered my local broadcast, but is not available on YouTube TV. So, such is life. But I will be watching as soon as they're done with the Tigers, so I've had to watch highlights the last couple of days.
Yeah. I'm in Colorado, so I thankfully don't really have those blackout issues. It's one of the few advantages of living far away from the team you root for. Maybe the only one, but
yeah. Well, I'm not that far. Like I said, I'm only an hour.
You're still
and a half
in the division, yeah.
I'm an hour and a half drive from the ballpark. It's probably a quicker drive than it would be in majority parts of Illinois.
I was gonna say if you were still in the city, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, an hour and a half is nothing. It's like a cakewalk.
You think you're going to still make some games this year?
I know I'm going to at least one. We're going to Harry Potter night.
Okay. You got rid of your ticket pass, right?
I did. I got rid of it last year before all that, just because I was fed up. I think I made the right call.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you one bit.
But we're still going to catch some games for sure.
Yeah. So, no, I was just curious. I know I've got the bug again this year. I want to go see some baseball this year. Something about the White Sox being young makes me want to go out and see a game or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going to make it all the way to Chicago for a game. Probably go see a Rockies game at some point.
There you go.
If I end up nearby, I'll probably end up going to a Royals game at some point this season, maybe against the White Sox. But we'll see what happens. So,
sounds good, dude. And since the last time you were on, they announced more giveaways. I don't know if you caught that portion of last week's show, but I took that graphic from the White Sox, and you know these could be one of the games that you guys catch. They announced two different jerseys. There's that real old retro on the right. There's the Los White Sox on the left, and that sleeveless or the short sleeve hoodie, which is a strange look.
Yeah, I like that short sleeve hoodie. Not gonna lie,
it's a cool look. It probably works in the summer. There's that weird polo looking thing, and then there's that Modelo. Modelo always has something wild and interesting, and they have this La Pantera, Luis Robert, Panther bobblehead thingamabob. Looks cool,
but that is interesting.
It is. It's loud, that's for sure. But the standout item on this list, of course, is the Big Hurt back-to-back MVP bobblehead, which is August 31st. Looks sick. And then what they also – they didn't announce this, but we talked about it on a previous show. They didn't have the picture. But on May 9th, they're having WWE night.
Yes.
And they had announced a Southpaw WWE figure, but there was no picture. We now have the picture to go with it, which looks pretty cool. Check it out.
You know, what I think is really cool about that is the fact that it features John Cena in there as well.
Right. You can't see him. He's there.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, totally cool. Obviously, that as well as the Harry Potter scarf and one of the other specialty knives.
Yeah. Those look really cool. I might have to pick me one up on eBay.
Yeah, it's a special ticket event. So for those of you that are trying to attend, you have to go to the White Sox special tickets page and you have to buy a ticket that comes with the special. What's the greatest thing about these, Zim, is that you don't have to wait in line early to get into the park. You're guaranteed one if you just have the pass and you can scan it in center field or wherever you pick it up.
Yeah.
It's like section 157. But I will say with these scarves, they said since there's four different houses, it's first come, first serve for whichever one you want. So obviously Gryffindor will be the hot commodity. So if you want to get your Gryffindor one, get there early.
No, I'm a Slytherin. It's all good.
I'm not surprised at all by that.
I don't think anyone ever is.
Expecto Patronum.
No, actually, I was just reading up on ticketed events earlier today because I guess I'd never realized that was a thing before. And the Rockies are doing one in a couple weeks that I thought would be fun to take my kids to. They're doing like a mascot night.
Nice.
And they're giving away bucket hats with the mascot's face on it. And he's going to do like a meet and greet thing in the outfield picnic area before the game. But anyway, I guess I knew they existed, but I never knew how they worked. So, you know, just a shout out to anybody out there who's looking to do one of these kind of events. You know, if it says it's a ticketed event, make sure to take note of that. Do the research ahead of time. Make sure that you're on time and where you need to be if there's a pregame event or if you need to be in a specific area to collect your item. Because otherwise, these tickets get really expensive. You know, that there's always an upcharge on these special ticketed events. So
you would think the White Sox would, but of course it was big news this week that the White Sox broke, that they have the lowest, well, I don't know if you want to call it big news, but the White Sox have the lowest ticket prices in all of Major League Baseball. Not beverages and souvenirs, but tickets to get into the park. I will say I was really surprised, Zim, for this Harry Potter specialty night. I know it's a Friday night, but like I'm sitting 155, so the lower corner, similar to where we sat when we went. Okay. I got the ticket for all inclusive. I think it was like 25 plus tax.
Wow. That's incredibly cheap.
A ticket. So that includes the scarf.
And just to put that into perspective, this ticketed event that I was looking at that's specifically kid oriented for the Rockies, the lowest prices that started out was $40 a ticket.
And was that for Upper Deck?
And yes, and this is for the Colorado Rockies. The Colorado Rockies. This such a cutthroat competitive team that they're fielding out here that I believe has been outscored 24-4 or something like that in the first two games of the season.
Here, I've got my order confirmation here. So we, like I said, we're sitting in section 155 in the 29th row. Okay. It's a Friday night, May 10th, I believe. Of course, the date's not on here. Yes, it is. It is May 10th. Two tickets. Of course, they've got service fees and whatever on top of
right.
it.
Right. Always.
But it was like $55 before the service fees. I got both seats with everything with the service fees for under $70.
That's incredible, man. That is absolutely incredible. So, you know, Sox fans understand how lucky we are, especially if you're local and able to attend a game. It's not like that everywhere, you know, for no other way to put it. The Rockies are a dog shit team and an awful organization. And it's still more expensive to go see a game here than it is to go see a game in Chicago.
It's crazy.
And, you know, on top of it, in Chicago, you've got the public transportation that takes you practically right to the stadium. Mm-hmm. There's so many great local spots near the stadium if you want food or drinks or whatever before or after the game. I mean, the life there, I miss it. You know, it's been years since I've been there. I went to back-to-back games because I had the opportunity to, and yeah. I wasn't going to pass it up.
And they were both Cubs Sox games, weren't they?
They were both Cubs Sox games. Yeah.
And you saw Lance Lynn get shelled with me.
I saw Lance Lynn get shelled with you. And I saw, Luis Robert, I want to say, hit multi home runs the next day.
Did they win that game? They did, right?
They did. I don't know what they call it. It was an offensive explosion for both teams, though. It was like an 11-7 game or something.
The barn
like that.
Burner.
Yeah, it was great, though. It's like World War II. They're dropping bombs everywhere.
That's right. Jeez.
Too soon? Sorry. I'll try again in another 20 years.
I don't think it's too soon, Vin. I think you're fine.
At any rate, it's a blast at the stadium. You know, the thing I appreciate about Sox games that I haven't found at any other stadium I've gone to, and, you know, I'll preface all this by saying I've been to 4 stadiums, which I think is more than the, I think it's more than the average.
Probably more
fan,
than the average, yeah.
Right, but it's not an incredible amount. But of those 4 stadiums I've been to, the Sox Park has the best feel between, like, experience and watching the game. You know, I felt mm-hmm. like, you know, at the Rockies game and the Cubs game, it was all about the atmosphere. It was all about the party. You know, the sure. game was secondary. For the Rockies, it's because they're such a terrible team. And for the Cubs, it's because that's just become the tradition at that ballpark, which, you know, it is what it is, if that's what you're there for. Sure. The other stadium I've been to was a Yankees game. And it's like, if you're not watching the game, like, get out.
Oh yeah, you better. You're going to Yankee Stadium. First off, you're paying for it, so you better watch the game.
That's just it. So, so that's why I say I know we've gone on about this for a little while here, but I think it's right. I think it's worth going on about, especially early in the season when there's not as much to talk about, when there's still tons of games ahead of you to go see and explore and get some of these awesome giveaways. Yeah. I know today was hoodie day. Tomorrow is, I think, magnet schedules. I mean, it's the first homestand, and they're already giving stuff away.
Yeah, I mean,
they're not holding out on you at all.
No, they got great giveaways all year, you know.
So
I will say that this team, they always have great giveaways, and they will always announce more events and special ticketed things as the season goes on. Like my Tim Anderson Mandalorian White Sox bobblehead, they announced that, like, late in the season, and I mentioned this with Vinny the other day. I'm sure they'll announce a Star Wars day in September when they're trying to sell tickets. So,
oh, absolutely. They do every year.
Yeah, let me see if I know I got my TA. There we go. I mean, this thing is pretty slick. I don't know if anyone got one of these, but it's even got the removable helmet. So you can, that's bobblehead TA.
Yeah.
And you just pop this bad boy off. Obviously, he's no longer on the squad, but. Doesn't even really look like him, to be honest.
He's still in all their promotional material alongside Jake Berger and Elvis Andrews. So thought that was funny while I was watching the game today. Yeah, speaking of those theme nights, what are the odds you'll give me that either Alyssa or Ryan will do Ultimate Warrior makeup on WWE night?
Ooh. I'll go 10-1.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair.
I'm working on getting Alyssa on the show later in April, so maybe we can ask her that question.
Yeah, I could totally see one of them doing that. The way they get involved, you know, that's the other thing with the stadium is I've been to Rockies games on theme nights, and their mm-hmm. in-stadium hosts are just dressed like it's any other day. Everybody else is there in costume or in t-shirt garb or whatever, and they're just wearing their Rockies polo and their khaki pants with their microphone. And you know, the White Sox, they make it an experience, man. They really do.
Yeah, man. I love experience games, man. And that's part of the reason. And I'll do a brief segue. I think I mentioned at the top of the show, I'll be in Vegas this week. Tuesday night, I'm going to a Golden Knights game.
Nice.
And I went the second season there. We went to a game, and that's another place, man, where it's just electric. And they're playing Vancouver, one of the best teams in hockey. So that's going to be really cool to see. I just love going to places like that where you're just instantly amped up when you walk in. Like, it's the party vibe, but it's also like people that are serious about the sport. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get it. Totally get it. So, let's see. What have we touched on? There was something else I wanted to touch on with you, and I can't think of it. So I'll let you go ahead.
Nah, I mean, think about it. I was just going to ask you. I'm like, all right, well, we talked about baseball, and we got a few more minutes before we wrap up, but just wanted to see what you got going on. What's good with you, dude? You know, obviously there's been other baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
The Ohtani stuff, which we covered briefly earlier this week, but you know, it's the jury's out there. There's still a lot to be dug into, no pun intended, but you know, it's almost April. I mean, Easter's tomorrow. We got that going.
Absolutely. Yeah. My softball season started up yesterday. Had to miss our first game, unfortunately, but I'm real excited to get back out there. Spring is here. So,
and you're the reigning champs, right?
We are. We unfortunately started the season with a loss against the team that we beat in the championship round, but it was only a 3-run loss, which for anybody familiar with beer league softball, that's a pretty close game. So we'll take it. And we'll probably meet them in the championships again this year. So
how much beer is consumed during beer league softball? That's what I want to know.
So here's the real funny part, right? The parks district here does not allow beer on the fields, which means that you're not even allowed to have it in the dugouts. No alcohol consumption allowed in the dugouts or on the field. Okay. So you either have to go to the bathroom to have a beer or just chug before and after the games. And you'd be impressed at how much those guys can suck down before the games. Personally, I don't really like to because I feel it dulls the reflexes. And last thing I need is to get smacked in the face with a 12-inch softball. Those things are not soft. You know that. You know, even a clincher after the seventh inning, when it's all padded and squishy and broken down, those things still freaking hurt when you catch a liner with them. I've caught one off the bicep before. It's not a fun time. So,
nah.
So yeah, I don't really like to do that, but I mean, I would say on my team, I got a team of 13 guys. There's usually only 10 there per game. We'll usually kill a 30 rack between the team, which is only 3 beers a person. You know, that's not really that much.
Only 3 beers a person.
3 beers a person over the course of 3 hours, man. Like, that ain't bad. I don't think that's bad.
I mean, no, it's true. It just sounds like a lot.
It sounds like a lot, you know, but anything sounds like a lot if you don't frame it correctly. You know, the White Sox last season hit over 400 home runs. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it?
Sure.
I also don't think that number is even close to accurate.
I was going to say, I'm like, I have to look that up, but they were all by Luis Robert. He hit 400.
Yeah.
Oh, gotta love it, man. But no, I mean, it's been fun. We talked, of course, about the first two games, a little bit of preview of what's coming up down the line. We talked about, is Moncada the answer at third? Or is he on the hot seat, if you will?
Mm-hmm.
Shoemake is shoemaking a case. Seat. Shoemaking a case to be playing third baseman. I just came up on the fly.
Is the hot corner on the hot seat with Shoemaking the case to take over the position?
There you go. See, look at that. We don't even, that's what you guys come here for. You know,
55 minutes of rambling. Night at the bar
room, man. I did. Somebody big just died at 7. I had a few minutes in between. I ran downstairs, popped back on. We're talking White Sox. Everything's good, man. You guys should go check out Somebody Big Just Died. We just ran it before this with Louis Gossett Jr. Of course, from a gentleman. Why am I forgetting the name of the movie? An officer and a gentleman. Yeah, that was a great movie he was in. So check that out. That was before this. But Zim, you got anything else you want to chat about? What's new in the things that you're into? Besides the new microphone that we troubleshot before this.
Yeah, we tried troubleshooting a new microphone. I'll get a battery for it and see if we can get that working. Maybe get some more interactive showtime happening. But
yeah,
man. You know, just looking forward to a fun season. Sox really feel different this year. It's not the vibe I expected. You know, I got excited for opening day. I turned it on and I saw the feel of this club and I found myself wanting to watch today's game rather than like, I got to watch the game today because Joe and I have a podcast tonight.
Yeah.
You know, the number of times I did that last season. I mean, by the end of the year, I was even blatantly admitting to you guys, I didn't watch a game this week. Let's talk White Sox. But no, I want to see it. I want to see how these guys progress. At least for April, I'm excited about this club.
I'm excited too, man. And I'm actually conflicted because I don't usually do this. I'm like, I might actually place a wager on the White Sox this week.
Man,
but I'm in Vegas. We'll see.
You know, we talked bullpen for a little bit, and something that Len Casper pointed out on the radio broadcast on opening day is that Michael Kopech is the only player on the 2024, excuse me, the only pitcher on the 2024 opening day roster that was on the 2023 opening day roster.
Wow.
So you talk about that kind of turnover, and this team is effectively in the same position, if not a little better.
That's insane.
That's big. That's big.
That's wild, dude. That's a heck of a stat, man. Things to come, change to come. I love it. Again, we talked a heck of a whole lot of baseball tonight. We even dove into more than just that, giveaways and everything going on in the stadium. But one thing that we can all attest to is the fact that the start of the season is exciting. This team is a different vibe, and that's exciting to watch. And there's great giveaways coming up. So get over to the ballpark, see our friends, Ryan Lee and Alyssa Bergamini. We're trying to get Alyssa on in the near future. There's going to be some other great guests over the course of the season, so make sure you tune in. As I mentioned, there will not be a show this upcoming Monday because I will be on vacation, but we will be back on April 8th to break it all down. Here's one thing I forgot to do, Zim. We were going to do picks to click for ourselves.
Let's do it.
Before we get out of here, I did not get a text back from Vin with his pick to click. So what we'll do is I'll let you go first after I run this little video, and then you can make yours. Then I'll make mine, and Vin gets whoever we didn't pick. Well, he can pick whoever he wants. But anyway, I do have a pick to click video wherever it went. Let's see if I could find it. There it is. So it's this week's pick to click. I do. What do you got for the upcoming week?
First off, big shout out to Aldo for making all of these new transitions for us.
Yeah, it's sick.
Second off, I think only one player in that last montage is still on the team.
Yeah, I know. I gotta redo that, but you know,
it's not a big deal. At any rate, yeah, I gotta make one for this week. I think I kind of mentioned in my video last week that I think Eloy's gonna be a big disappointment this year. So far, so good. So can I like lock him in as my disappointment of the week?
Sure.
Can I make my pick to click that Eloy is not going to be good this week? Or do I
sure?
But if I'm making a serious one, in all honesty, Oh, it's tough being so fresh in the year, not really knowing who's going to be a daily player and who's going to be a role player, so to say. You're letting me go first, so I gotta take the sure thing with Luis Robert. Luis Robert Jr. is my pick to click this week. He had two home runs today. He was pretty solid in the opener. I think he was one of the three players who got a hit. But his defense already seems like it's there. As much as I want to pick somebody else, you know, nobody else has really stepped up so far. I think later in the season, once some of these guys hit their stride, I think we're going to have a tough choice for ourselves. But we'll see how that goes later. For now, Luis Robert Jr.
I like it, dude. I mean, I can't say I blame you.
When you've only got one superstar on the team, like, it makes it a little easier.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Braden Shoemake.
Yeah.
Just feel like he's one of the other guys who's hitting the ball right now. Let me look at his stats for today. He went 2-for-4 with an RBI, of course, on that home run. Two runs scored, so I'll go with him. I'll ride the hot hand. I can guarantee you, I think I know who Vinny's going to take. It's either one or two guys.
He's going to go Gavin Sheets.
Gavin Sheets, oh my God. You know what? That's very possible. I was going to say it was either going to be Eloy or Benny Buttcheeks.
That's who I would guess, honestly. If I had to pick somebody to keep an eye on, like a sleeper pick, I think Andrew Vaughn.
That was almost my pick. I almost picked him. But I like what I saw out of Shoemake today, so I'm going to take that.
But yeah, we'll see how it goes. You know, Eloy and Moncada are already striking out like it's August. Maldonado.
Vaughn too, actually.
Yeah. Maldonado, I don't think will ever be our pick to click. That's just like a free spot on the roster. Nicky Lopez has started off pretty slow. And so is Dominic Fletcher, unfortunately. He was a guy I really thought might make a difference on this team, and he's not seeing the ball. He is not seeing the ball at all.
That's early. Give these guys some time, but it's not early everywhere else, but we've hit the hour mark, which is what we said we would do today, and I think that's probably a pretty fitting area for us to start to wrap things up, Zim. But it's been a heck of a fun night talking baseball with you, and I got to talk about celebrities passing away on the Barroom Network. So I had a full night here on the channel. But before we get out of here, Zim, any shout-outs you want to give heading into the upcoming week?
Yeah, of course, a shout-out to my softball buddies. I know none of them watch this show, and none of them care about the White Sox. Well, one of them cares about the White Sox, so maybe I can get them to tune in. But
there you go.
Shout-out to those guys. Excited for another season with them. Big shout out to the family. You know, everybody's been super supportive still. Wouldn't be able to do this show if they weren't. Wife just got back from a week-long trip out of state. So I'm excited to go spend a nice Saturday evening quiet with her.
There you go, man. That's awesome. Love the shout outs, man. Yeah, as always, I give a shout out to my beautiful wife, Catherine, and our 2-year-old baby girl, Audrey. They are my world, and they are just the best, and I love them both very much. And of course, my Great Dane Maverick, who's the best. He's a big goofball. Can't wait to go hang out with him after this, too. I'm going to give a shout-out to everyone in the chat room that's been in there all night, hanging out with us, giving us comments. And as PZ says, and I was about to say, happy Easter to everyone who celebrates. Hopefully tomorrow is a beautiful day for you. I know the Midwest is supposed to have some nasty weather, so if you're getting that, please stay safe, but otherwise stay indoors and enjoy the family and all the stuff that spring is bringing. On that note, I will also say I hope the weather stays just fine enough for me to escape the Chicagoland area on Monday morning on a plane. So that's the plan. Looking forward to some time in Vegas, and we'll report back. Maybe the White Sox will go on a run while I'm out there. Who knows?
Fingers crossed. Joe, a quick final thought for you. Peeps, yes or no?
There's only one type of peeps that I like, Zim, and I can't find them anywhere.
the hot tamales.
The hot tamale.
I knew it.
They're incredible, but they're
I haven't seen them this year. Yeah.
You know what kind of replaced them showing up in stores everywhere is Dr. Pepper Peeps. Which sounds absolutely abysmal.
You haven't tried them? Oh man.
No, I've got some upstairs.
They're not so bad. They're really
I would have to buy a 12 pack and I would probably only eat one.
They're not as bad as you think. They're not as good as you think either though.
Well, I didn't think they were going to be good at all.
So take it at your own risk.
But do you agree with me? Are hot tamale peeps not the superior peep?
To me, no. I don't like cinnamon flavored candy though. Mm. Cinnamon flavored gum from time to time, but cinnamon flavored candy is just not my thing. I like spicy to be spicy and sweet to be sweet.
I saw they have cotton candy peeps this year, but I've not tried.
The chocolate dip peeps are also pretty solid.
Have never seen those.
Yeah.
I will say this is a hack for you. Dad hack. There's a new way to decorate eggs. I don't know if you've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a machine that I saw on TikTok. It's shaped like a peep and there's a space for an egg and you put your hard boiled egg in there and you turn it on and it rotates and it comes with like these Sharpies that you can like do fine little lines and like do really cool, awesome things on it. My daughter's two. And she lost her mind doing it. And they turned out really cool.
It's phenomenal, man. That sounds great. Sounds like fun.
And there's no dyes. There's no mega mess. Here, I'll show you a picture of the eggs real quick just so you can see how cool they
turned out. Yeah.
Let's see if I can get it to show up.
Wow, those did turn out great, man.
And that's
cool.
It's on this little rotating thing. And
right. You just
take the different colored Sharpie things and boom, boom, boom. And it's really fun and not that big of a mess unless you poke yourself with a Sharpie. But
yeah. So are you a jelly beans guy then?
Oh, God, no. Oh, okay. Correction. Jelly Bellies. I do enjoy Jelly Belly brand. But outside of that, no.
All right.
My dad with probably the best comment of the night. Sounds exciting.
Excellent. Excellent comment.
Yes. What better way to wrap the show? But again, thank you everyone for tuning in tonight to South Burbs Hitmen. Vinny, we send you our love. We appreciate you. I know you couldn't be here tonight due to other engagements, but we'll be back at it a week from Monday on the 8th of April.
April 8th, all three of your South Burbs Hitmen.
But this Monday, I'll be busy rolling the dice. So on that note, we'll see you guys next week. Zim, I appreciate you, man. Appreciate everyone in the chat. Happy Easter, everyone. And we may be 0-2, but it's different vibes. As always, yes. No matter what, let's go White Sox. We'll see you next week on April 8th. Peace.